From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome one, welcome all. We are glad you are with us. Good hour coming up. We're going to hear from Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, here in just a little bit. But in the meantime, time to go back a decade and then talk about this year's team and that team that won a Super Bowl, and to do it, none other than our good buddy Donald Driver. Let's bring him in, shall we?
10 years ago, championship game. Green Bay won a championship against Pittsburgh.
You gotta love it.
It's time to celebrate the 10-year anniversary as Bill Michaels talks with players from that team. Presented by Network Health Insurance and Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin Apprenticeship Program.
Donald Driver, your favorite number 80. Step into the microphone at this point in time. Double D, how you been, my friend?
What's going on, B? What's going on, man?
How can you believe it's been 10 years since you guys went on that roll?
No, man, I can't believe it. I think, you know, the crazy part about it, it goes by fast, don't it? I mean, never
it does.
That, you know, and I think that's the most exciting part is that once you win it once, as you know, man, you want to win it multiple times. And I think, you know, I think the best part is I have won, and nobody can ever take that away from me.
When you guys, you and I have talked so much about this, I don't even know specifically where to begin to bring something new to the table, but when you felt something special in that season, do you remember when it was? Was there a moment in time, or did you just feel it coming together? How did you know that there was something special there?
I think when we played the Giants, I think that was the turning point. You know, I knew we had to win two games to get into the postseason. Our back was against the wall. We controlled our own destiny. And I think at that moment when we beat them, I think we ended up beating them like 45-3. I think that moment we knew that we had a chance to, you know, have a run at this thing. And then to go on to beat Chicago the next following week, knowing that they could eliminate us out of the playoffs because they had home field advantage throughout that year. So, you know, I think those were the two turning points that we knew at the end of the day. We knew that we had to go on the road, and we knew we'd play our best ball. Nobody could beat us.
I remember that team because there was a lot of optimism. And then, obviously, you get hurt. Charles gets hurt. We saw Nick Barnett went down. Jermichael Finley went down. It was like all these key pieces started getting banged up either prior to or during this game. So when we heard that David Bakhtiari went down with a knee injury this year and just last week, it kind of takes the wind out of your sails. How do you recover from something like that as a team?
Well, I think every year, regardless of what you do, you're going to face adversity. I think when David went down, there was a next. They gave someone else the next opportunity to step up and fill his shoes. And no one can fill David's shoes. He's one of the best, you know, guys, centers in the business. I mean, left tackles in the business. And so when you think about that, you think, okay, how can I step up and show the team that I play for that I can actually fill someone else's shoes or play at that level? And I think, you know, those guys did that. And so we faced adversity that year. We lost so many great players, but we went on a great run to make sure that we accomplished the goal that we want to accomplish and that becoming Super Bowl champion.
You saw Aaron Rodgers at his best. It was a magical ride through the postseason. That game in Atlanta, I remember coming down the elevator with Steve Young. Steve Young looking over and going, that's the most impressive quarterbacking performance I've ever seen in my life. And now we've seen Aaron Rodgers play differently, but as well this year. Talk about the way you've seen Aaron Rodgers play and when you kind of get the sense that he's locked in and he's on.
You know, I think that's it. I think as you get older, you're not trying to prove anything anymore. You know, I think you're letting the people know that you can still play at the high level, and now you're just comfortable. You know, I think that's what he is right now. He's comfortable in playing the game. I think early on in his career, he was trying to prove to the fans that he should have been the first-round draft pick. And, I mean, he should have been the first pick in the draft. But then at the end of the day, he proved that already. And now he's just saying, hey, listen, I'm comfortable. This is what I do. This is my this is my house. And no one can stop me. And, you know, he's out there having fun. And that's the Aaron Rodgers I know.
Let me ask you, when you guys went into the postseason, that first game, you had that Philadelphia game. It was cold, and we were talking about, you know, guys hanging on to the football. And when you, because I remember James Starks was running so well at the end of that season, and it became the James Starks show out of nowhere. All of a sudden, he started high-stepping it. And I mean, just it seemed like everything you did just turned to gold. Do you get – is it not just the camaraderie in the locker room, but it's just this sense of luck and this sense of that, hey, this might be our time, so you got to take advantage of it?
You know, Bill, I don't think it's luck. I think it's the opportunity. And I think so many guys now, these guys have the opportunity to run the show. You have it again. I mean, you remember back in 2007, we had home field advantage all the way throughout the playoffs, and then we lose to the Giants. And the Giants go on to win the Super Bowl. You know, they were the last team destined. So the Packers' good part about this is that they're the best team in the NFC right now. I mean, that's a proven fact. And so they're proving it week in and week out that they can play with the best of them. And so it's going to boil down, you know. And yes, we all know any given day you can get beat. But I think if those guys play the way they've been playing all season long, sky's the limit for them. They'll be back in the Super Bowl once again.
When you, if you had something to say to the guys in the locker room today from your experience going to and winning a Super Bowl, what would it be?
Don't let the opportunity slip away. You know, I go back. I think sometimes you, when you think about it, I think about all the opportunities that we had to make a run for the Super Bowl, and we let the opportunity slip away. I mean, you think about the Philly game, 4th-and-26. Think about the Rams game. You go back to the Giants game. I mean, you just go back further and further and further. You start thinking about that. And so this is the opportunity for those guys. So don't let the opportunity slip away, because it's hard to get there. And once you get there, you got to win it all.
Defense, they always say defense wins you championships, Donald, but you guys had one hell of an offense. How much does your defense have to support what it is in today's day and age, what your offense is doing?
You know, this is going to be the thing. Right now, this is a passing league. Everyone wants to see people score touchdowns, and that's what fantasy football is all about. But, this is not the hard-nosed defense back in the 90s and the early 2000s. I mean, it's just not – no one's playing defense like that. And every time you do something, there's a penalty for it. So, you know, the game has completely changed, but I think our defense is going to have to step up because this can't be a shootout. You know, you can't go into the first postseason game thinking it's going to be a shootout. It may be, but if the defense steps up and the conditions that we face in Green Bay, as we all know, it can go in our favor.
Talking with Packers legend Donald Driver, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, reckoning back a decade. Now, you've played with a lot of good wide receivers. Give me your thoughts on to where Davante Adams is in kind of the echelon of guys that you've played with, including yourself.
He's one of the best. It was funny because me and James Jones were talking about it probably about 6 months ago, and we were just comparing all of us, all the great players that ever played in Green Bay, and he was talking about everything that we've all done, catching the ball, running routes, releases, and we were just talking about if we had to number everyone down, who has the best release in the game. And it was funny because James Jones said, "Drive, you good?" And I've never seen nobody better than you, but I got to give it to Davante Adams. May got you on this one. So I take my hat off to him. He's one of the best guys in the National Football League right now. He's proven it every single week in, week out. He's playing against the best of the best corners out there, and he's beating them. And so you have to take your hat off to him. And that's it.
There's something special about guys specifically that play slot, that guys that go over the middle. Now, Davante gets open everywhere, like you said, but one of your specialties was that inside slant. You don't see that as much anymore because I can't tell you how many times I've seen you cut that inside slant and you're just wide open down the middle. It's a couple of moves, run over a person or two, and then off to the races. But yet you took some big hits and you just couldn't wait to get up from a big hit and do the shimmy shake and the first down and the whole thing. It's a truth. It's a special breed of person that's willing to go over the middle and take that shot, isn't it?
I totally agree. I think that's what Robert Brooks told me when I first walked in there. He told me, if you want to play in the National Football League, you can't be afraid to go across the middle. And I've been blessed to go across the middle multiple times and get my head knocked off. But at the end of the day, I get up, smile, and let the people know that they didn't hurt me. And that's one thing that number four taught me a long time ago. He said, never let a person see you hurt. And I think that's the proven fact that I think a lot of guys now, you know, the game is played outside the numbers and the hash now. So no one wants to go across the middle as much as we did back then.
How much of that day down in Dallas, from the time you got up to the time you went to bed, whatever it was, that night or 2 days later, whenever you guys celebrated, how much of that day do you really detail-wise remember? Because it seemed like a blur.
I think every bit of it, you know, because, I mean, that's your first one. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers had been there before. They knew exactly what to do the day-to-day regimen, but we did, you know, and I think we took it all in and embraced every moment of it. And so I remember, you know, just being in my room, you know, laying across my bed, just thinking, this is a great opportunity, and you're not going to get it again. And if you do get it again, as you know, it's just slim. And so we just, you know, I wanted to take it all in. I embraced every moment of it, my family as well. And so, yeah, we walked out of there champions. So, I mean, I think no one could ever say you're not, you know. So you have the room, the ring to prove it, and the trophy to, that's hanging up, you know, right there in Lambeau.
Before I let you go, I got to ask you a little bit about Goodwill. The last time you and I were together with Goodwill, we were doing one of those fashion shows, and you put me in corduroy pants, and I thought I was going to set the joint on fire. So now everything's virtual now for Goodwill, obviously, but you're donating some money to them as well, right?
Yeah, we're donating money. The Donald Trump Foundation has been very supportive of Goodwill for many, many years. But, you know, the thing that I love about Goodwill is that, you know, they found me when I was nobody. They gave me the opportunity to have a platform right there in the state of Wisconsin. And I take my hat off to them because, you know, Goodwill in, you know, Southwest Wisconsin, if they would have never gave me that opportunity, I would have never been able to do what I wanted, you know, what I wanted to do and what they wanted to do. And I think we accomplished some amazing things over the last decade. I mean, it's been amazing, amazing years for us. And, you know, they have supported myself as well, supported the Wisconsin and the metropolitan of Chicago for over 20 years. And for over 100 years, I mean, you think about it, the Goodwill has served this community for every single mission. I mean, you're talking about providing training, employment, supportive services for the people that have disabilities and disadvantages. And so that's always been the focus there, is believing the power of work and giving people seeking independence. You know, and so that's what I love about Goodwill, is that they always care about the people that a lot of other people don't care about. And so this is a great opportunity for us to impact the community.
Good stuff, as always, my friend. I appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much for sharing some memories. And I know it's a special time of year. Every time that Super Bowl rolls around, it always brings back a lot of memories for that Dallas trip. That's for damn sure. But we'll talk soon, man. Don't be a stranger, because whenever you want to come on, we'd love to have you on, okay?
I appreciate it, Bill. But one thing before we leave, if anybody wants to do a financial contribution to Goodwill, you have it to February 6th of 2021 to make that donation. You can go to www.donorgifts.wisconsin, GoodwillSEW.com to make that donation. That is, again, www.donationgifts.goodwillSEW.com.
There you go. Donald, always good, buddy. We'll talk soon, okay?
I appreciate it, Bill. Take care, man.
Absolutely. There you go. Donald Driver, and that's donorgifts.goodwillsew.com. That's donorgifts, G-I-F-T-S, donorgifts.goodwillsew.com, and you can make a financial donation there. Always good to talk to Donald Driver. Always good to sit down and get a chance to chat with him and just kind of, you know, pick his brain a little bit and obviously just kind of harken back to that 10 years ago, that Super Bowl championship. It's presented by Network Health. It's always great to have them a part of the program as well. And it's always fun to talk to Donald Driver. It just is. Network Health Insurance of Wisconsin and the Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin, their apprenticeship program. So good to have them on board and sponsor some of these. And we're going to be talking with some of the Packers greats every week leading up to Super Bowl. So make sure you set your dial for these particular times. But good stuff. And, again, don't forget about Goodwill. Donald Driver, been a long time. The last time, I'm not kidding, the last time that we did some stuff for Goodwill with Donald, they had me in a fashion show. And I had to try on all these different clothes. And it was like through the decades. They started out in the 20s and moved on, so I had like two or three wardrobe changes. And the last one, they put me in these corduroy pants, these brown corduroy pants. I looked okay, but Donald came into my dressing room, and he puts his hand like down between my thighs, and he says, son, you're going to set the joint on fire. So I was quite a bit bigger then, but we had such a great time at those Goodwill fashion shows from years ago. Good stuff from Donald Driver. Let's do this. We'll talk a little bit about 10 years ago, and we'll talk about if you have any comparisons between that team and this team as the Packers are on the bye getting ready for the NFC playoffs to get underway. We'll talk about that coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. How we looking? Bill Michaels Show on the air. Good stuff from Donald Driver. Always good to chat with him. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Reminder, coming up on Thursday night, Marcus Eversole from the Fan in Green Bay, Eric Baranchak from the Green Bay Press-Gazette, both going to be my guests on the Bill Michaels Huddle, presented by our friends at Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good. Cranberry, grapefruit, pineapple, and strawberry flavors. Go to budlight.com. 6 to 8 coming up. 6 to 8 coming up. And that is going to be on Thursday night, 6 to 8. Make sure you take a listen to us on many of these same stations. Want to get into – we'll hear from Davante Adams coming up here in just a minute. This is from Jason, who says, saw you guys down in Dallas, had a great time chatting with you at one of the bars where they had that giant tub of beer. You guys were laughing so hard. There was about six of you. We enjoyed meeting you guys. It was weird. We were the only ones out traveling. Now, I do remember that night. I didn't know that was your name, but I do remember that. We had gone to, there was a steakhouse in downtown Dallas. It might have been Morton's. We went to Morton's Steakhouse, and everybody just, we'd had a hell of a week. It had been terrible weather, because my schedule at the time, I was doing both television and radio. So every morning, I was up at 3:30 and then drove, because I was staying at the Hyatt at the airport. So I would drive from the airport to Arlington to do television in the morning. And then after that, then head over to the Packers hotel and just kind of, you know, mix, mingle, do a few things over there, and then head in to do the radio show in Radio Row in downtown Dallas. Now, Arlington and Dallas, that'd be like Johnson Creek and Milwaukee or Green Bay and Appleton. I mean, it's not a long drive, but it's not a short one either, you know. So you're driving all over, and then we just worked so much. And then we had the snowstorms and the ice storms. And at the time, the mayor of Dallas said they would not bring in any salt or any sand because it would, quote, corrode their infrastructure. So they didn't throw anything down on it. Now, on the highways, they would throw down some sand, but that was about the extent of it. So you're driving on these pathways of ice, back and forth. So what normally would have been maybe a 30-minute trip, a 25-minute trip, was taking you about an hour to get around. People were flying off the road all over the place down there. And they don't have a lot of big four-wheel drive vehicles. Most of them down there were two-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive at the time. But I remember driving down in the morning and then at night heading back. And then, you're right, we went to the steakhouse, and then after that we went to the bars in downtown Dallas, really over near where the Book Depository was, where Kennedy was killed, and they had all of these bars stocked to the brim with staff and beers, and they knew Packers fans were coming. And Packers fans went out, but nobody else went out. Steelers fans weren't out. Nobody was doing anything. I mean, it was really weird. I remember the leather and lace ball, and I can't remember who hosted it. Maybe it was P. Diddy, I think, was hosting that year. And we went to it, and there was nobody there. There was nobody there. It was just really weird. It was just they just never expected that kind of weather, you know? And we did have a good time at the Bud Light. Remember when they used to do the Bud Light Hotel? Oh, my God, that was great. It was Kesha, 50 Cent, and Nelly. And Kesha blew everybody away. I mean, just was phenomenal in concert. We saw that concert, too. But, yeah, I remember seeing you guys over at that bar. We had a good time. We were the only ones there. So we had to make our own fun, right? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. We're going to hear still from Davante Adams coming up. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We got some Tim Allen coming up, Davante coming up before we close things out today. Stick around. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
So Davante Adams caught up with, or the media caught up with Davante Adams, I should say, really. One of the questions posed to him was how different it felt. You're going through this final game, you're getting yourself ready and in position for a postseason run, and you're doing it without David Bakhtiari. So how are you guys able to overcome that loss?
Well, honestly, I didn't feel it's tough. I think that's a little bit of a better question for Aaron, because typically, I mean, if they were super disruptive, it would mess with a lot of the calls that we had, which I didn't really see too much of that going on. It seemed like we were still able to get to all the plays we wanted to get to. From a receiver's perspective, it looked like we held up and did our job up front all game. So shout out to the boys, you know, Billy stepping up and moving over there, and the rest of those guys moving around. You know, we just kind of got we got definitely the right personnel for, you know, those type of sudden change, not exactly ideal situations, but I feel like, you know, we've been able to make the most of those, and I'm really proud of our guys.
So he not only ties Sterling Sharp, but Davante Adams then broke the record that was set by Sterling Sharp. So when he was asked about, you know, the records falling and the season that he's had and doing it in two less games, how do you feel about that?
Feels good, man. Feels good. I would have been happy regardless, just getting this bye, being able to move into here, having everything go through Lambeau, move out of this place and just get back and have a week's rest. But, you know, it definitely feels good. It's put in a lot of hard work, and, you know, I've come up short of a few different things in my career. So it feels good to be able to achieve that.
So Davante Adams then asked a little bit more about, how good it feels to have, drives and such. And you started out that 12-play, 76-yard drive for that fourth quarter, and really, for the most part, kind of putting your stamp on the remainder of the game. So talk about that.
It felt good, man, because those are the really tough ones. Obviously, we can, you know, we've done it a bunch of times, but when you hit a kind of like a dry spot and you can't really get anything going, sometimes you can bounce back with a five play, 60-yard drive where you have a couple explosives. But when you have to just kind of, you know, they play a lot of too high today. Obviously, you see a lot of coverage toward me to make sure that they took me out of the game as much as possible. Which we can't use as an excuse, because there's still ways to be able to get me the ball. And, you know, I can still get open when they do that. But, it's tough, when you hit one of those spots, because it kills your momentum and it's tough to find a rhythm. But I feel like everybody just kind of kept their head down and stayed focused and made sure that they, didn't panic, like I said, and we came out on top.
So don't forget, in this contest, I mean, the Bears, for the most part, controlled. I mean, they did. They controlled the clock, the time of possession, far outweighed the Green Bay Packers in favor of the Chicago Bears. But the one thing that the Bears were doing was kicking field goals. The Packers, on the other hand, they were putting the ball in the end zone when they had those opportunities. So what does it say about this team when the Bears do control the clock, but the Packers were just putting the ball in the end zone? How do you walk away and kind of look at things like that?
It says a lot about our team, man. I mean, it just shows the resilience that we have. I mean, it's not easy to go out against. It's a good team. Doesn't matter how many games they lost in a row or whatever it was, when they hit a tough spot in the season. But you look around, they got really good personnel. They got a quarterback who doesn't get a whole lot of respect, but he can create and he can do a lot of different things, that make it tough to go against, especially when, you know, it starts getting late in those games. My hat's off to our defense for being able to step up in some of those situations, because, it's one thing to be locked down on the outside, but then to be able to contain a scrambling quarterback as well, I feel like that's tough to do, especially when they know that they got to win the game, which didn't end up being that way for them, because they end up getting some help. But in their mind, they're thinking that, you know, if we lose, we're out. So for them to have that mindset and us to go out and still be able to dominate, it says a lot about this team.
So Josh Allen, Derrick Henry, Patrick Mahomes, all in the race for the MVP. Mahomes sits the final week of the season. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers goes into Soldier Field, throws four touchdown passes, not a pick, 10 for 10 in the first half of the ball game as well, with a perfect quarterback rating. And in addition to that, spreads the ball around to four different receivers, including Dominic Daphne, a guy that nobody had ever heard of going back to September. So being able to do that, talk about solidifying the MVP race.
MVP should be locked up. There's nothing else to really talk about. You look at what we've done and what he's been able to do, you know, and they've hit him with everything, said that he doesn't have any weapons, and then we go out here and go 13-3 regular season, which isn't our end goal, obviously, but it's a hell of an accomplishment, especially when you in your second year with a new staff. So it says a lot about him. You know, I could talk all day about his MVP, you know, his push and all of that, but I think he's a lot of his play to step up and do that. And obviously, honestly, there's been a few other plays where it would have cemented it even more. Had we made a couple more plays for him where, you know, he made a great ball and, you know, we came up short. But yeah, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear to me who the MVP of the season is. And, it's going to be a person who, you know, he's won a couple of them before.
So, and I agree. I 100% agree. I will say this. I'll take exception with I have never personally said that the Packers didn't have any weapons. What I have said is you'd like to add an additional weapon and more options to help alongside Devontae Adams. I mean, but it's turned out remarkably well. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, kudos to him because he's taken what everybody's given him. And it's worked out masterfully. Which is the reason he should win the MVP. He kind of changed his modus operandi, so to speak. Was this Bears game though? As I mentioned before, this game was kind of decided in the red zone for the fact that the Packers scoring touchdowns, the Bears either weren't able to or ended up settling for field goals, and the Bears' failure in the red zone. He talks about.
Yeah, I think it just came down to putting six on the board and then coming in and letting our special teams unit add another one for us. I mean, it's tough to do, especially when you play against a front seven like that. I mean, they got some dogs up front, man. So it's not easy to always hold up, and then it's not easy to run the ball. And, you know, for us to go and get Aaron Jones in there at the end of that game, basically untouched, or at least it looked that way for me. You know, it says a lot about this team, and I think that those are the type of games that we're going to have to, you know, continue to win moving forward. I mean, everything's through Lambeau, and not every game is going to be pretty, but we're going to have to go down there and make sure we get points and come out on top and in.
So when he talks about weapons on this offense and the fact that, you know, that Aaron Rodgers spread the ball around to four different receivers, including a guy like Daphne, how deep is this offense?
I mean, we don't get enough credit for the depth that we do have. You look at every single position. I got a lot of faith in every single position on this team, honestly. You know, Daph is one of the most versatile dudes I've been around, and I've been around a lot of players who've done a lot for this team. So great hands. He can run routes. He's got a lot more speed than what people give him credit for. And he's just a confident dude having fun out there. You can see it when he score, when he make a block for somebody. Just real unselfish, and that goes a long way in this league and does a lot for our team.
So Devontae Adams, I mean, a tremendous wide receiver. He's not a 4-3 burner. He's not a huge leaper. He's not the guy that you throw to at the apex all the time. I mean, when you got a big corner on him that can probably go up and get the 50-50 balls, you still give him an opportunity because he's your veteran wide receiver. But what makes him different? Without that 4-3 speed, without that giant leaping ability, what makes him different?
Yeah, I mean, I pride myself on that. I think I've made that clear as far as my mindset. I'd much rather have as many solo pictures catching the football as I can. My goal is to see a photograph of me catching the football and not know if it was pregame or if it was in a real football game. So that's how I approach it every time. And yeah, a lot of work has been put into that. I think because, you know, I'm not a 4-3 guy, definitely 4-4. I ran 4-5 at the combine, but I'm 4-4 now. Be happy to prove that to anybody. But, you know, not being a 4-3 guy, I had to find a way to get on top and you know, change the narrative. I think people were a little bit down on me about my speed coming into the league. So it was something that I wanted to lock in on early on in my career. Always had the basketball shiftiness. So it was just about fine tuning it and make it as efficient as possible. That way I just, you know, I can get on top and get rid of these guys and just run routes on air.
And he's talking about the footwork that he worked on so hard, being able to get open via stutter steps and digs and such, and kind of making it very, very efficient. Also, what difference could it make to actually have an NFC championship game rather than on the road, but at Lambeau Field?
It's a world of a difference. People play different. People act different. They talk different. Everything coming through Lambeau. So, you know, it is what it is. You can come in and try to bark and be barefoot pregame, shirt off, and do whatever you want to do. But at the end of the day, it's a beast playing in that snow. It's a beast playing in that weather, and just being in that environment, it takes people's confidence away. So, you know, I love to see a challenge, obviously, but it's, you know, just knowing that it's going to make it that much easier for us, and we got to make sure we lock in and do everything we got to do, take care of the ball and score points and do all of that. It's not going to be easy, but you know, it gives us a tremendous amount of confidence knowing we're at home. And from what I've seen in the past, it's taking that confidence away from our opponents. So we just got to make sure we handle everything we got to do. And, you know, us and Lambeau can go out there and take care of business.
So, you know, the road to the Super Bowl is going to go through Lambeau Field. You would assume anyway. Sometimes it's not safe to assume when you talk about playing games in postseason, especially in this kind of weather and such, that you would expect is going to happen at Lambeau Field. But he says that, hey, look, everybody in that locker room realizes everything you want right now, it's right in front of you, and they are in control of their own destiny.
Yeah, for sure. I know, like I said, I mean, I talked to the team a little bit before this and just kind of said, look, we know what we got in front of us. It's another NFC North opponent. We already locked the NFC up, but these boys are going to come in here hungry, ready to go, and give us everything that they got, because they got everything on the line right now. So, you know, knowing that and coming in and being able to make some plays in critical times in the game, I think that just speaks to, you know, like I said before, the depth, the mindset, everything that we are about as a team. And, you know, I'm just really proud and happy that, you know, we're in this position. We get to, you know, go rest for a week and then come out and play some more great football. So everything is in front of us and we control it all. So we're in a good spot.
And going back to our question from earlier, is it Super Bowl or bust? Gary writes something rather interesting. He says, considering this is only the second time that the Packers have had the number one seed in Aaron Rodgers' career, I would definitely say that this is Super Bowl or bust. For Packers fans, yes. Most other teams, basically 20 of them, would be excited for just being in the playoffs. I think about the Browns fans and the Lions fans at this point. People tend to forget how the 70s and 80s were for being a Packers fan. We've been spoiled pretty much since 1992 when everybody complained when Wolf traded our first-round pick for a backup quarterback at the time. While there's been a lot of heartbreak, through these years, I think we've been fortunate to experience this type of a stretch. Not winning it all is disappointing, but not the end of the world. I'll sit back and enjoy the pack. So there you go. Some words of wisdom, I guess, for somebody that's actually lived through the good times and the bad when you talk about Super Bowl or bust. 855-830-8648. If you want to give us a reaction to what Donald Driver had to say, would love to hear it. Also, what you just heard out of Devontae Adams, would love to hear it by all means. Ryan says, Super Bowl or bust? Yes, it's a salary cap for next year, projected to go down to $175 million. As it stands right now, the Packers roster is at $201 million. It's now or never, because next year you're not going to go out and buy a bunch of free agents to come in and bolster this roster. So, yes, it's Super Bowl or bust. Stay tuned. I'm going to wrap things up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update. Brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers reviewed the tape of Sunday's win over the Bears. Chicago had the ball for 74 plays and scored one touchdown. Green Bay had the ball for just 44 plays and scored five TDs. I asked Matt LaFleur about the opening kickoff to Cordell Patterson. Was it out of bounds, or should it have been first and 10 at the Chicago 1?
You know, he touched the ball. I personally still think he touched it prior to stepping out. Obviously, the NFL disagrees with that, and they called it how they called it. You know, after looking at it and having a chance to really sit back and and look at it closely, I think we made the right decision there, even though it did go our way.
The team has today off, and this weekend they'll have a bye week to see who they might host in the divisional playoffs. Aaron Rodgers.
It's all good football teams now left in the dance. There's 14 teams that have a chance to keep playing. 18 of them are going home, doing exit meetings. It's fun to be one of the 14. We'll be one of the 8 after wild card weekend, and it'll be exciting to be in the mix and have a chance.
That's Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back. Glad to have you. Bill Michaels Show, and we continue on. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to go ahead and do so. Let's go to Marcus. Marcus, welcome to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. What's happening, man?
Hey, Bill. Nice to hear from you, man. Happy New Year to you, man.
You too. What's up?
Hey, real fast, I do believe this. I was a Debbie Downer. Still, as far as the Packers being able to finish off an opponent, I think right now this is Super Bowl or bust. And let's just say this, Bill, real fast. Even if they get to the Super Bowl, and if somehow they don't win it, I'm just happy for the fact that Rodgers has a chance to do it. And if he can pull it off, I think he can do it. But just for us to get there through this COVID thing and everything that has happened, I think it's a great accomplishment for Green Bay. So we shouldn't feel bad no matter what happens if we do get to that final game. What do you think about that? I think that everybody needs to sell out. I think at this point everybody's bought into it that this is it, man. All guns are blazing and last man standing. So you broken arm, broken leg, you get out there and try to get this thing done the next two games. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it. No, like Donald Driver talked about a little bit earlier, you heard from Devonta Adams, everything's right there in front of you. It's up to you to take it. And if you don't, that's, you know, you don't want to walk away from this particular situation and have regrets. And if you don't, if you don't, as you put it, just ball out, then you're going to walk away with regrets. I think when it comes to the Packers in this particular situation, every guy up there knows that. There's nothing that Brian Gutekunst, there's nothing Matt LaFleur, or personnel-wise, it is what it is. Okay, now it's up to putting the right guys in the right position to make plays and be successful. And then it's up to those guys to execute to the best of their ability. That's all this is. Once you get to this point in the season, it's not like you can go out and find somebody. You know, you're not going to come up with another wide receiver or another tight end or another all-pro left tackle. I mean, no, you're not getting that. None of those guys are walking through that door. So it's as fans, we can sit here and kind of pound the fists and clap the hands and rah-rah, and that's going to happen in the locker room. But in the grand scheme of things, it is what it is. This team sitting in front of you, you got to be good. You got to be a little bit lucky. You got to get hot and you got to be healthy. And you don't want to have key guys go down. And what you have to do is then if guys do go down is rely upon the depth. The depth has to be good as well. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. In football specifically, you're only as good as your weakest link. In basketball, you can have one or two guys carry you. In baseball, you can have a pitcher overcome a lot of obstacles if you don't have a really solid offense. Get a couple of runs, give it to a good pitcher, you're good to go. But this as far as Super Bowl or bust, okay, it's what your expectations are. If your expectations were just to get to the postseason with a team that you didn't think was going to get there, then you can't be Super Bowl or bust. You can look at things and how they've unfolded and certainly say that maybe things are on your side. But I don't know if you can sit there and without a doubt say Super Bowl or bust. Okay? What you can look at with, say, in regards to next year, whether or not you've got all these guys back, what kind of tweaks you make, whether or not some of the guys you drafted this year really become pertinent players for next season. They take that sophomore jump, so to speak. If you bring in a a rookie next year? Does he fortify the position that he needs to fortify? You know, do you find somebody, an additional big body alongside Kenny Clark? Or do you find another guy for the outside or another guy, a linebacker or such? Or maybe after we've talked all about this, maybe there is another wide receiver that's out there. And maybe Marquez Valdes-Scantling develops and suddenly doesn't have any more mental lapses when it comes to hauling in the football. There's all those things that go into play as far as saying Super Bowl or bust. But when you've got Aaron Rodgers playing this good, buying into this system and on this plane, if you will, with his head coach, man, it's hard not to say. It's like I'd mentioned last year. When you play at an MVP level, when you play this good, you usually don't go out the next year and play better. You know what I mean? You either play the same or a little bit less. Just like I said, look at the sack totals from last year between Preston and Za'Darius Smith. It was like career years. You didn't expect that again this year, and that's exactly what you got. It was a little bit of a down year numerically for them, statistically for them, but the defense overall is better. Can the offense overall be better next year, even though Aaron Rodgers may not be at this particular level, this MVP level? We'll get back into this a little bit tomorrow. Going to be a good one. By the way, tomorrow we're going to talk with Ross Tucker, our Radio.com NFL insider. Tom Silverstein's here. Silverstein's going to be here tomorrow, too. I'm looking forward to talking to him about covering the Green Bay Packers. We'll talk some Craig Kishon, Mike DeCourcy, Big Ten basketball. Don't forget, on Thursday, A.J. Hawk is going to be here. We got a lot coming up. Time for us to go. Have a go. See you.
Michael's Sports Talk Network.